This is the Son of PCJ.
Hello, friends and listeners. You're listening to your program, The Happy Station Show, coming to you from PCJ Radio International. And guess what? The holiday season begins now.
Jolly old St. Nicholas, lean your ear this way. Don't you tell a single soul what I'm gonna say. Christmas Eve is coming soon, now you dear old man. Whisper what you'll bring to me, tell me if you can. Striking 12 and I'm sound asleep. Down the chimney, broad and flat, with your pack to free. All the stockings you will find hanging in a row. Mine will be the shortest one, you'll be sure to know.
Johnny wants a pair of skates, Susie wants a sled.
Yes, jolly old St. Nick, the Raycon of singers, beginning today's edition of Happy Station. You can say a pre-Christmas show because the main Christmas show is going to be on the 22nd of December, which is next week. Now, today we do have a couple of stories for you. Not ones that we produced ourselves, but ones that were produced many years ago by Radio Nederland and Perry Como. Now, I'm sure that many of our listeners right now in North America and also in the United Kingdom and maybe other parts of the world will probably remember the Perry Como Christmas specials. Well, this is something that he did way back 1959, and it's a very nice little story, and we're going to bring it to you later on in the program. But first, let's begin with Santa Claus is Coming to Town by Wayne Newton.
You better watch out, you better not cry, better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list, checking it twice, gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping, he knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. You better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Little tin horns, a little tin drums, Rudy Doo Doo and Rumba Tum Tums. Santa Claus is coming to town. Curly head dolls that toddle and coo, elephant boats and kitty cars too. Santa Claus is coming to town. The kids in girl and boy land will have a jubilee. They're gonna build a toyland town all around the Christmas tree. You better not cry, better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Do you know the way, Santa Claus?
Santa Claus is Coming to Town, Wayne Newton. It's amazing at how many Christmas songs from years past stick around today. Like this one, which is from probably, if not the most popular Christmas album of all time, despite the fact that it originally came out as a series of 78 discs in a book, and then eventually was released as a 10-inch LP, and then later on a 12-inch LP. It's Bing Crosby and the Andrews Sisters with a Hawaiian Christmas song called Malekelekimaka.
Malekelekimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway. Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Malekelekimaka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas to you.
Malekelekimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway. Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Malekelekimaka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas to you. Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night.
Malekelekimaka is a wise way
to say Merry Christmas to you. Malekelekimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway.
Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright,
the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Malekelekimaka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas.
A very Merry Christmas.
A very, very Merry, Merry Christmas to you.
Bing Crosby, the Andrews Sisters, and Malekelekimaka here on your program, Happy Station. The first of two Christmas shows this year. You're probably saying to yourself, Keith, why did you prepare two this year? Well, since 2009, we've been doing one. And many people have said, you know, why don't you do sort of a pre-Christmas show to the main one? Well, that's what this is, actually. The real one actually is airing next week. But of course, we do have some seasonal music on the program today. And some wonderful stories and music like this one. This is a recording of Perry Como, made in 1959, called The Story of the First Christmas. I hope you enjoy it.
This is Perry Como, and I'd like to tell you the most wonderful, the most beautiful, the most exciting story in the whole world. The story of the first Christmas. Now suppose you make believe this is many, many years ago, a long time before you were born. You're standing on the hillside near a little town in Palestine. Do you see the man in the distance walking slowly, leading a donkey? His name is Joseph. Someone is sitting on the back of the donkey, and her name is Mary. They've come a long, long way, and they're heading for a little town near the hillside on which we're standing. Something very special will happen in this little town tonight, for this is the little town of Bethlehem.
How still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by, yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight.
Let's follow Joseph and Mary into the town of Bethlehem. It's getting dark and all the rooms at the inn are taken, but the kindly innkeeper tells them they could spend the night at a stable nearby. Now, I told you something was going to happen, and it did. A baby boy is born to Mary and Joseph, whom they call Jesus. They have no baby's crib, so Mary puts little Jesus asleep in the soft, sweet hay of a manger. Jesus is asleep in the manger, so let's tiptoe out to the hillside near Bethlehem, where the shepherds are tending their flock. All at once, the shepherds are frightened. You'd be frightened, too, because a great light suddenly shines in the sky. Even the animals are hushed and still. But then you hear the voice of an angel of the Lord. And you're no longer frightened, for the angel brings good news, news of a Savior born this day, news of Christ the Lord. We're still with the shepherds on the hillside near Bethlehem. We hear the shepherds ask the angel where to find the Christ child, and the angel tells them to go to the manger. And as they leave, the sky is filled with other angels singing, "Glory to God, and on earth peace, goodwill to men." The shepherds hurry to the manger, fall on their knees before the baby, and they worship him. For he is Christ the Lord.
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. born the King of Angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord.
And now look up into the sky. Do you see that bright star twinkling in the heavens? Far away, three men are looking at that star just as we are. They're riding on camels, and they're using the star as a guide to lead them to the Christ child. Who are these three men who follow the star?
We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star.
Yes, the three men on the camels are the three wise men. The new star guides them straight to Bethlehem, to a little baby lying in the manger. There the three wise men present gifts to the Christ child, the first Christmas gifts ever given to anyone. A gift of gold, of frankincense, and of myrrh. And they too fall on their knees to worship him. And now a great peace settles on the night, for it is a holy night.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
This is why when we celebrate Christmas, we think of Bethlehem. We think of the Virgin Mary. We think of the three wise men and the birth of the Christ child, the first Christmas.
The first Christmas, Perry Como. A number of people have asked me in the past, was Christmas big when you were growing up in your house? Actually, it was. And I think most people that, let's say, are Christian, it would be. But I had a special benefit in the fact that I'm also part Jewish. So in my household, even though Christmas was the dominant holiday, we had some neighbors next door, Peter and Selma Bennett, who were Jewish, and of course they would celebrate Hanukkah. My parents were very close friends with the Bennett, and every year we'd have, well, combined holidays. For example, maybe at lunch they'd come over for Christmas dinner, and then in the evening we'd go over for some Hanukkah dinner. And it was quite extraordinary. I mean, we would go to their place, we would sing some traditional Jewish songs, and I know so many of them, which is kind of, people think it's odd, but I do. And then they would come over to our house, and then we would sing some of the traditional Christmas songs. Now, as you probably have known, I have been living now in Asia for the past 12 years. So I also now celebrate some of the Buddhist holidays at the same time. Multi-denominational, I think, is the best way to go because you get so many things and so many insights to different cultures and faiths. And it makes it quite lovely. That's the only thing I can say. It is quite lovely. So now we're going to dedicate this song to all those celebrating Hanukkah at this time of year. It's performed by Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet, and this is a song that I remember so well because the Bennetts used to play it all the time, and it is one of my favorite songs that is played at Hanukkah. Not just at Hanukkah, but also at other times of the year as well. But they would play it always in the month of Hanukkah. The song is called Bashana Habaha.
La, la. Shiv al hamid beset Nishpor hesipurim nodedo Yeladim bechufsha Yesach hakuto feset Ben habayit leben hasadon Otire, otire Kama tov yiye Bashana, bashana
Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet with Bashana Habaha for all those celebrating Hanukkah. We now move to our second story on today's program. This originally aired in 1972 on Radio Nederland. It's called A Very White Christmas, and it's presented by Neville Gray.
A Very White Christmas.
Let me take you back in time, back towards the end of the 16th century, to the year 1596. The scene is Amsterdam. The Dam Square was there all right, but hippies were yet a long way out of sight, and the Royal Palace had not yet been built. The old church was there, its bells chiming out the tunes of the hour. I went there again yesterday just to sample one of those tunes, as they're played nowadays. It was pretty cold as I took my tape recorder to the old church square, now part of Amsterdam's red light district, where the girls sit in the windows of quaint little houses, bathing in the soft glow of rosy lampshades and waiting for the odd, lonely customer out for a good time. All right, all right. The ditties of those years were different from today's. Amsterdam was a small trading town built on the banks of an estuary called, as it's called today, the A. People must have celebrated Christmas in much the same manner as they do today, in churches that were more divided than ever as the great conflict between the old Roman Catholic faith and the Reformation was still raging on with unabated bitterness. Amsterdam was ruled by its city fathers, the city corporation which held its sessions at the old town hall. Later, a new town hall was built in Dam Square, where it has since changed its function into that of Amsterdam's famous royal palace. And the wise fathers of Amsterdam, a city which rapidly developed into a republic within the Republic of the Netherlands, as the Venice of the North, scanned the oceans in search of new treasures. The globe of the world took on a magical significance in the eyes of these city rulers, and they wondered if, perhaps, some shorter seaway could be found to the distant oriental realms of China and Japan, those legendary empires traversed on foot by the great Venetian explorer Marco Polo. Marco Polo travelled by land, but should not the Arctic Ocean offer a much more convenient and shorter route?
Attention, please. Will all passengers for flight KL-47 to Tokyo go to gate number B5? Please keep your boarding cards available.
To Tokyo, across the North Pole, just like that. How dead easy it's all become today in the 1970s. Board a taxi to the airport, then board a plane which takes you up and across the vast expanse of polar ice and snow to land you in the magic realm of Cathay, which we now call Japan. It's a cinch today, but back in 1596... In the year of our Lord and Saviour, 1596, two ships left the port of Amsterdam and set sail for the distant north. One ship, commanded by Captain Jan Cornelisz Rijk, lost its way at an early stage of the voyage and turned back. But the other, piloted by Jacob van Heemskerk and carrying a crew of 15 and a well-known cartographer, Willem Barents, got stuck in the ice of the Arctic Ocean. The 17 men were forced to spend the long Arctic night on the island of Nova Zembla, a place of perennial dusk where man had scarcely, if ever, set foot before. What, you may well wonder, prompted the Amsterdam seamen to set sail to the north, risking death in that cruel world of eternal snow and ice? It was a time of rumours and speculations in northern Europe, but not about such things as snowmen sledging along with bells jingling. The stories were all about immensely rich countries in the Far East, countries where gold and silver grew on trees, and the quickest way there was to round Cape North and follow the northern coastline of Muscovia. After a few abortive expeditions, the Amsterdam City Fathers decided to put up a prize for the man who would be the first to find the northern seaway towards the realms of China and Japan. Two skippers, Captain Rijk and Captain van Heemskerk, took up the challenge, and their expeditions set out for the unknown, eager for success and the sizable reward held out for them. So off they went in the year 1596 to remote China and Japan. The great adventure was on, and it would baffle the world. Today, the Dutch National Museum in Amsterdam still keeps some objects recalling the men's grueling experience in that Arctic hell. But I'll turn to that later in the course of this very, very white Christmas. I won't bother you with the names of all the crew members. but for that of one man, Gerrit de Veer, who was probably the ship's second mate. It was de Veer who wrote the now famous day-by-day account of the journey and the wintering on Nova Zembla. May 18th, 1596, the expedition set sail for the North Cape. June 9th, they discover Bear Island. June 19th, they discover Spitsbergen. July 17th, the expedition arrives at Nova Zembla. August 27th, and they're hopelessly locked in the ice. September 17th, they start building a hut to pass the winter on Nova Zembla. For timber, they use trees washed onto the shore along with wood from the ship. The ship's carpenter has died, but most of the men prove excellent craftsmen. They're only a small bunch, and their means of survival are limited, but rarely have so few men displayed so much courage, resourcefulness, and persistence in the face of that whitest of all Christmases, the polar night. Finally, the sun sets on Heemskerk, Barents, and their men. They have now gone into the hut and cut their provisions into daily rations, and these are strictly adhered to. In their crucial battle against the elements, the men cling together as a team in which there's no place for individual greed. From time to time, they manage to kill a bear. Occasionally, they take a pick of the meat, but they still regard it with suspicion. They prefer the meat of Arctic foxes that are caught playing on the roof of the hut. Absolute dark has settled on the snow-covered plains. The only glimmer of light is provided by the stars when, during clear spells, the men venture out of the hut by the chimney. Groping together inside, they hear the sound of the blizzards tearing at their shelter. They fear the end and anxiously wait for the light to return. Let's read now from the diary of Gerrit de Veer, which he kept by the wavering glow of a wick floating in bear's grease during that winter of 1596.
The 24th of December, being Christmas Eve, it was fair weather. Then we opened the doors again and saw much open water in the sea, for we had heard the sea crack and drive, and although it wasn't day, yet we could see quite far. Towards evening, it blew hard out of the northeast, with great store of snow, so that all the passage that we had made open before was stopped up again. The 25th of December, being Christmas Day, it was foul weather, with a northwest wind, and yet, though it was foul weather, we heard the foxes run over our house, wherewith some of our men said it was an ill sign. And while we sat disputing why it should be an ill sign, some of our men made answer that it was an ill sign because we couldn't take them, to put them in a pot to roast them, for that had been a very good sign for us.
Still, the bad weather continued, and the temperature dropped to a point where the men were at a loss how to protect themselves from freezing to death. They made a huge fire, put on all available clothing and heated tiles to warm their feet as they lay down to sleep in their bunks. But despite all precautions, they woke up in the morning to find the boards of their bunks frozen white. Then they'd look at one another in silent dismay. But soon afterwards, hope would flicker again as they knew that the sun was now at its lowest point and they would see its return before long. Thus it happened that for a handful of Dutch seamen locked in the Arctic ice on their impossible voyage to the Far East, Christmas of the year 1596 became a very real Christmas indeed. On that day, they began to look out for the return of the light, the sun, that would again bring warmth to their world. But many days had yet to pass before the men could see the sun, bleak and phantom-like, hovering over the horizon.
On the 4th day of January, it was still foul, stormy weather, with much snow and great cold. The wind, southwest, and we were forced to keep in the house. And to know where the wind blew, we thrust a half-pike out the chimney with a little cloth or feather upon it. But as soon as we thrust it out, it was presently frozen, as hard as a piece of wood, and could not go about or stir with the wind. The 5th day of January, it was somewhat still and calm weather. Then we dug our door open again, that we might go out and carry out all the filth that had been made during the time of our being shut in. We made everything handsome and fetched in the wood which we had chopped. And that was about all we did that day. And when we had busied ourselves all day, we remembered it was the eve of the 12th night. Then we prayed our skipper, Heemskerk, that we might be merry that night, and said that we were content to spend some of the wine that night, which we had spared, and which was our share every second day. And so, that night we made merry and drank to the three kings. And therewith we had 2 pounds of meal, whereof we made pancakes fried in oil, and every man a white biscuit, which we sopped in wine. And so, supposing that we were in our own country, and among our friends, it comforted us as well as if we had made a great banquet in our own house.
The men rejoiced in the prospect that the long polar night would now soon be over. Such was Christmas for those seamen wintering on Nova Zembla in the year 1596. A very white Christmas, if ever there was one. At home in Amsterdam, relatives of the missing crew made their way to the church to attend the night service and pray to God from the depths of their sorrow. And the Lord had mercy upon the crew, although he eventually took 5 of their 17 lives. On January 24th, Captain van Heemskerk and chronicler Gerrit de Veer actually see the sun peering over the horizon while they're taking a walk along the beach. They return to the house and tell Barents, the cartographer, who flatly refuses to believe it. It can't be. In his reckoning, the sun will not appear for another 14 days. The clock has long since frozen, but they've been using a sand glass to keep careful track of the time. But Kalle's astronomical almanac, printed in Venice for use between 1589 and 1600, settles the dispute. Another crew member dies. After 3 days, they dig a grave in the snow, and on that memorable 27th of January, all see the sun.
Today, the companions had a sad duty to fulfill. Another comrade, the second to die on the island, has to be buried. When the grave is 7 feet deep, all gather for the funeral and psalm-singing ceremony. Afterwards they have breakfast, and as they sit discussing the mass of snow piled up on the house, and decide that, in the event of another snowstorm, it will be safest to scramble out by the chimney, the skipper says he will try this at once. Climbing out on top of the house, he sees the sun shining in full luster, and calling out to the men below, invites them to join him and witness it for themselves. They all climb out, and their moods, still heavy over the loss of their companion, turn to rejoicing and thanksgiving.
Death has claimed its toll. The sun rises above the horizon, and hopes are revived of returning home to Amsterdam. During their voyage south, following the Russian coastline in their sailing barges, 3 more lives are lost. Willem Barents dies of exhaustion and scurvy, but he leaves memories of great courage and perseverance, and his name lives on in that of the Barents Sea, still to be found on maps in all the languages of the world. 3 centuries later, on September 7th, 1871, Captain Elling Carlsen of Hammerfest, Norway, discovers Barents Harbour on Nova Zembla. After 2 days, his expedition hits upon the hut which Barents and his men built in the snow. In it, they find the things left behind by the Dutchman, most of them perfectly preserved in the ice. Today, the History Department of the Dutch National Museum in Amsterdam still shows the clock that stopped in Heemskerk and Barents' hut just before the whitest of all their white Christmases began.
Attention, please. Last call for flight KL-47 to Tokyo. All passengers to gate number B5, please.
It's all a cinch nowadays, flying over the Barents Sea in a snug, warm plane. Looking out of the window from your comfortable armchair, you can see the white mountain ranges where, just as in the days of Heemskerk and Barents, the polar bears are hunting their prey, and where a very, very white Christmas reigns all the year round.
A Very White Christmas, presented by Neville Gray, that originally aired on Radio Nederland in 1972. If you'd like to contact us, our email address is hs@pcjmedia.com. That's hs@pcjmedia.com. And I want to remind you again that our main Christmas show will be next week. Some of the old favorites, well, not that old because we've only been doing it since 2009, but some of the old favorites that, well, we're going to call them old favorites that we created back then in a Christmas show that I hope you will enjoy. And if you've heard it again, I hope you enjoy it again. Time now for more music. Burl Ives, Holly Jolly Christmas.
It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and when you walk down the street, say hello to friends you know and everyone you meet. Ho, ho, the mistletoe hung where you can see. Somebody waits for you, kiss her once for me. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and in case you didn't hear, oh by golly, have a holly jolly Christmas this year.
Have a holly jolly Christmas, it's the best time of the year.
When you walk down the street, say hello to friends you know and everyone you meet. Ho, ho, the mistletoe hung where you can see. Somebody waits for you, kiss her once for me. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and in case you didn't hear, oh, by golly, have a holly jolly Christmas this year.
Jingle, próspero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, próspero año y felicidad. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart.
Feliz Navidad, Jose Feliciano, and before that, Burl Ives with A Holly Jolly Christmas. Some people wrote last year after we did the program and said, the stories that you use, can you make them available separately? Well, maybe. Depending, of course, on how many requests we get for it, we possibly could do that. But for next year. So you have to hold on to your garter belts. I have no idea what that means. Things just come to me sometimes. Anyway, let's now move on to another holiday classic for this time of year. Andy Williams, It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, with the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all, with those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time. Yes, the most wonderful time. Oh, the most wonderful time.
Andy Williams, the most wonderful time of the year. And we're nearly out of time. Before we go, once again, if you wish to contact us, our email address is hs@pcjmedia.com. And of course, you can download this program and all past editions of the show after their broadcast at www.pcjmedia.com. I thought we'd end today with a song called Do They Know It's Christmas Time? It was recorded by Band Aid, which is made up of a group of very well-known English musicians, such as George Michael and others. Bananarama, I think Phil Collins is also on the session. It was put together by Bob Geldof. Here they are, Band Aid. Do They Know It's Christmas Time? We'll see you next week for the main Christmas show. So until next time, friends, so long. Au revoir. Auf Wiedersehen. Adios, amigos. And sayonara.
It's Christmas time, there's no need to be afraid. At Christmas time, we let in light and we banish shame.